الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أيام معدودات. With regard to our daily ma'amulat, we discussed a few ma'amulat which we have started. And some of them are after every namaz, some of them are morning and evening. Those who have the desire to practice should note them down and then start practicing them from now so that it becomes our normal way. So the first that we had mentioned is that the person after namaz says Allahu Akbar and Astaghfirullah, 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 Al-Azim Al-Ladhi, La Ilaha Illa Huwa Al-Hayyul Qayyum Wa Atubu Ilayh. Then places his hand on his forehead, forehead and the head touches. Bismillah Al-Ladhi La Ilaha Illa Huwa Al-Rahman Al-Rahim. Allahumma azhib anni al-hamma wal-husn. Concentrate on the dua also, and that it is sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as well. And then very, very effective is to read these four pairs of ayahs. The first is Surah Fatiha, Alhamd Sharif, a person reads. And then he reads Ayatul Kursi, two. Three, he reads the Ayat Shahid Allah, and Inna Deena Indallahi Islam. And then the two ayahs, Qul Innallaha Malik al-Mulk. Those two ayahs. This set of ayahs, it comes in the hadith, a person who reads it after his namaz, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala looks at him 70 times a day with nazre rahmat, with kindness. And 70 times a day really means continuously. Because in Arabic the word 70 is used for abundantly, abundantly. So Allah will look at that person the whole day with great mercy. The second is that Allah gives that person a place in Haziratul Quds. Haziratul Quds is a special place in Jannatul Firdaus. A special place in Jannatul Firdaus. And the third is Allah safeguards that person from 99 diseases, the lowest of which is depression, worry. And in another riwayat, from 70 diseases, the hardships, difficulties, the lowest of which is poverty. So Allah will save us from all things. And when poverty is a thing a person fears so much, and to worry, depression, anxiety overtakes everyone all the time, people are in, will be saved from there. And the fourth is that Allah Ta'ala will protect that person from his enemies and in fact give him the upper hand over his enemies. So by reading that, we should try and read that after all the namazes. After all five time namazes, and where they are sunnah and muakkada, we should read it after that. When they are sunnah and muakkada, read it at this time. And this is like, for example, in a class, the students, they are all types of students. That student who studied very hard and he learned his lesson properly. And now when the ustad asks questions, he's ready with the answers all the time. Immediately he's got his answers. Ustad will also look at him a second and third time. The student is a mashallah bright student. He's learned his work well and he starts getting the favors and the favorable glances of the ustad. Even among the students he's going to shine out. And that will encourage him to now learn even more. And then for him, studies will become enjoyable. To sit an extra hour, 2-3 hours, it will become enjoyable. It won't be a burden to him. He will enjoy it. And the student who doesn't do, and he hasn't got answers, the ustad asks him, and then the ustad starts feeling a bit awkward with the student also. He never knows anything. He doesn't give any answers. And the student also, he becomes more and more slack. He doesn't study and he falls back all the time. So how much we will do, so much we will go front. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. With regard to the ayat that we are discussing, where Allah Ta'ala says we must keep roza in all parts of the body, but also keep roza. We discussed about the roza of the eyes, the tongue, the ears, and we are discussing about the mind and the heart, our thoughts. Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in one very beautiful, all Hazrat Bayans are extremely beautiful, beneficial also. He explains this power of the mind, how powerful it is. He says that a lion in the jungle told the cub, the baby lion, see, you don't have to fear anyone in the world. Yeah, in the jungle, out of the jungle, only person you must fear is insan, Hazrat Insan. Besides that, you don't have to fear anyone. So, when the lion passed away, he died, and the cub then thought, now who is this insan? That I did not ask my father, and he did not tell me who is insan. So he saw an elephant. So he thought, must be this a big animal, must be very strong. So he asked him, are you insan? So he said, no, I'm elephant, Mr. Elephant. So he said, no, I don't have to fear you, though you're so big. Then he saw like a big a giraffe, a big animal, a tall animal, that may be. Many things he saw, that this may be insan, nothing. One day he saw insan, and he thought, this I don't even have to ask, what is he? I can just, with one of my, attack him one, and I'll eat him up, and he's nothing whatsoever. But I can't find insan, let me ask him. So he said, yes, I am Mr. Insan. What your father told you, that you must be afraid of, I am that person. He said, but you are nothing, what are you? So he said, okay, we'll see. So then he planned a trap for the lion, dug a hole and covered it up with some grass and dirt, and the lion came to attack him, and the lion fell in the hole. Now the lion could not come out. So then he told him, you see, this is what is insan. No physical strength like that. But this mind that works, the planning, that I trap you now, now you can't come out from here. So like that, the power of the mind is very much. And if it's used in the right, it takes you to such heights that you cannot believe. And if you use it for the wrong, it completely destroys the person. And not only you, you'll destroy other people also. Like for example, it's common, we have some laborers working, and you want to dig a hole or something, and you tell them, dig here. You want to plant some flower, something you ordered from overseas, you got it there in the packet, and you tell them, be careful, and you put it a bit far away, not near the hole, that you don't hit this here, you must be careful, and dig here. But the next you see, one shot, they give on that flower packet, and they damage all that valuable what you have got from overseas with so much difficulty. Then what you say? But these people, they got no brains. They say, so, I told them so clearly, I'm sitting there under my supervision, and yet they do like that. But the next day, when they want to steal from you, they use their brains such a way, you say, what brains these people got? Just now, yesterday, you told these people got no brains. And today you say, hey, but what brains these people got? So the brains that we do at Allah has given us, if it's used for the right, it can take us where and where. And as we know, we don't like our children to be lazy. We mustn't be lazy. Any student that is lazy is looked down. That is physically. And with the brains also. If we are lazy, and we know if you use your physical strength, you become more active. And if you become dormant, and you just don't do anything, you become redundant. You are not worth anything. You must be on the move. We were in Bangladesh, and with Maulana Jafar Sahib, who visits us quite often, and he was, in front of us was a vehicle, buggy, and there were little children having like a tub of water, and they were shaking the water all the time. So he explained to me, in there are fish in that water. And for the oxygen of the fish, they have to shake the water. And he said they will shake this water continuously. Then their journey of 5 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, This is their work, just to shake that water all the time. If they stop, the fish will die. So they have to do it all the time. So like that, physically also, the more a person is works, the more he becomes healthier, the more. And the same it is with the brain and the heart, our thinking also. If we don't use it, we don't think, then that also becomes dead. The person's brain, he becomes brain dead. One is what we medically what is called brain dead. But like that also, that a person, his brain don't work. So Allah has given us this. And this month of Ramadan, use it to develop. We let the brain to work. And if they work overtime also, no problem, but in the right direction. Finding Allah Ta'ala. Realizing the existence of Allah Ta'ala. And this can work. So many there are like big professors who are atheists. And they don't use their brain. That's why they become atheists, though they speak professors. And they can't see the existence of Allah Ta'ala. One such professor, a small boy, a young boy, Muslim boy, he told him that the professor told that, what proof have you got that Allah Ta'ala exists? And because they got all the proof that Allah does not exist. And that is, one is you don't use your brain, and one is you use it negatively, in the wrong direction. So the boy said, at your age what I see, I presume your mother has passed on already, she has passed away. So he said, yes. So he said, did your mother love you? So he said, very much. Then what's the question you're asking me? She loved me. You ever saw that love of your mother? He was now taken aback suddenly. You can't see. But you know she loved you. How do you know? He made him think now. May use his brain. Then he said, she cared about me. When it was a cold day, she insisted I wear something warm, that I eat a little bit more. I be careful when I'm on my bicycle, whatever else it is. All the signs were there. So see, just like that, we can't see Allah, but the signs of Allah and the love of Allah are so manifest, are so plenty. Everywhere the signs are there. So you cannot deny the existence of Allah Ta'ala. The signs, by the signs, you realize the Creator, Allah Ta'ala. And we are not worthy at this moment in this life to see Allah Ta'ala. Our eyes, they are so impure, and we have made them continuously impure. And with this impure eye, where can you see pure Allah? And it is for that reason also we don't see the purity and the beauty and the great academic value of the Quran Sharif, because we are looking at it with dirty eyes, with dirty brain. It doesn't come into dirty eyes and dirty brain. And the sweetness of the Quran we can't taste because our tongues are dirty. And this month of Ramadan that Allah has given us, purify our tongues, purify our ears. Listening to Quran Sharif, the jinnat who show, inna sami'na Quran and ajaba, and we have heard ajeeb, beautiful Quran Sharif. If our eyes are, our ears are pure, and then recitation of Quran Sharif, we'll wish that the Taraweeh must carry on whole night. And mashallah, Quran Sharif is like that. And if the reader is a good reader also, and Allah loves to you when Quran Sharif is being read beautifully, Allah loves to listen to that also. So if we would love to listen to Quran Sharif, and if we ourselves read it beautifully, and the best is to read Quran Sharif with a little sound, not screaming loudly, but so much that you can hear yourself, unless you're not disturbing somebody else. If you are in the masjid, all people, somebody is sleeping, then don't disturb them. But otherwise, and the reading of the Quran Sharif is so enjoyable, and the listening to it also. And if we Allah give us the tawfiq to spend our one Ramadan correctly, and to bring these qualities, this purification of everything, then when we hear Quran Sharif, even our own Quran Sharif, what we are reciting, it will give us so much great joy. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, before she was six, she was in Makkah Sharif. And in the gullies of Makkah Sharif, she kept on reading the ayat, where you will learn at the book. سيهزم الجمع ويولون الدبر. And what enjoyment he should really. That was the time when the kuffar were attacking the Muslims. Muslims did not have permission to fight back. They just had to make sabr, and they just had to take the hiding all the time. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to make namaz in the haram, they threw all the mess of the camel on top of him. If the command was dropped, you can't do anything. But at that time already the ayat was revealed, sir, in the future, for that their whole power and strength will be destroyed. And they will turn their backs and run, never to look back. When was this? When Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was a little child. After that, at the age of 9, she went to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Medina Sharif. So, and how the Muslims were in Makkah Sharif. At that time, how they were being tortured. But see the truth of the Quran Sharif. And she should say, release, and read. The Quran Sharif, that kitab, Holy Bati Rome, that has declared that the Roman Empire will be overpowered. And what the thing of Quran to predict the future, that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had written the Quran himself, na'udhu billah, he would never have taken a chance like this, because there was no possibility that the Roman Empire could be overpowered. But it was, and the Quran predicted it, and predicted the time in which it will be done also. And 100% according to that it happened. Yesterday we discussed, Mashal Maulana reminded me about how the Soviet Union, how they destroyed Islam when in those countries where Islam was so strong, Samarkand, Bukhara, Mawarau-Nahar, what great ulama and what great Islam they were. And that gives us also tawfiq, which we mentioned yesterday also, is that to study that. And don't study the negative side. Today, being influenced by the West and the enemies of Islam, we also see only the wars they fought. And what, but what great work was that in every field of Islam, whether it was tafsir, just of Surah Fatiha, 40 volumes tafsir written only on Surah Fatiha. Today, where we're going to in our whole lifetime, we're going to read 40 volumes. But they wrote it at that time. So what was their ulum and what was their knowledge? And in every day ibadah, as far as the tasawwuf was concerned, everything they were gone. But then how did they destroy Islam? They did not kill the sign of Qiyamah is that ilm, knowledge will be lifted up. And the ulama explained, it isn't knowledge that will be lifted up, the ulama will be taken away. The carriers of the knowledge, those people who have the true knowledge, proper knowledge, they will go. And as what we can see, the people carrying true knowledge are getting lifted up one by one. And then there will be only jahalat. And the people will dallu, adallu. They will be misguided and they will misguide others. And unfortunately, on the whole scene, we just see that is what is happening. So knowledge will be taken away. So what they did is to take, to remove the ulama. And how did they remove the ulama? They did, and this is also their, not that they're clever, they're not clever at all, they're stupid. They're not intelligent at all. And many people don't like when I say they are stupid. Then I say they are stupid. If you don't like the word stupid, then I say they are stupid. That is what they are. What they are, then we have to call them what they are. And if they think they're clever and we think they're clever, then we more bigger stupids also. So they did not match their hand in killing the ulama. They did not spill the blood of the ulama. They got the youth and were in the learning institutes. As if Judge Akbar Allahabadi, Rahmatullah Ali, great judge he was of Allahabad in India, when the British were ruling, he was a very senior, but very, very pious person, very advanced in his spirituality also. He said that Fir'aun did not have to become so badnam. He did not have to be having such a bad name of killing all the little children of Bani Israel, all the main issues that he was killing. He should not have done that. All he should have done is open colleges and schools. And his whole objective of controlling the Bani Israel, he should have done it, and he should get the good name. He made knowledge. He spread knowledge. He shouldn't have been criticized. But now he shouldn't come to him. He shouldn't be criticized, and he shouldn't be remembered for his brutality, but he should be remembered for his great achievement. And what he wanted to, that should be achieved. That is what the Soviet Union, and that is exactly what is happening now throughout the world, not only Muslim countries, not only South Africa, throughout the world, enhancing the colleges, schools, etc. And in there, they prepare them, for example, the basic things of schools and universities is that loyalty first to the government. And like in Saudi Arabia, the little children have to sing their anthem. And watani, my country is most important, I die for my country, I live for my country. Whereas for us it is for Islam. In India, what is the anthem, what is teaching the children? Terrible words in there. So all that, to become loyal, and that you have to become materialistic. All these are the plans of Dajjal. Dajjal is the god of materialism. That if you have materialism, you have money, you have house, you have car, you have all the things of the dunya, then you are successful. So that is what they teach there, you must make money. And that is which is on the tongue of the Muslim parents, that you go to university, become a doctor, you'll have money, you'll drive smart cars, you'll have a smart house. You're my daughters, you don't have to worry for, you don't need a husband in your life. You will earn your own money, and just materialism, all the whole subject is there. So when that is the case, then they told them that now you are convinced, and you know yourself that money is talk, money is God, money does, money speaks, money controls everything. And these Maulvis, what are they telling you? Interest is haram. And you see what money you have, and you just put it on invest it and with some interest basis, and you make lots of money. But what they tell you, they stop you. That money you have to make, and for your money, everyone must work, children must work. And there are those countries where though the governments have made labor laws for children until what age they can come in the labor force, etc. But your children, if you go to India, Pakistan, small children, what heavy work they have to do. All day, the woman must go and work. And what the Maulvis tell you, put the children in the Darul Uloom. What are they going to get there? Nothing they're going to get there. They're going to suffer. They're not going to have the food. On that point, Hazrat Maulana Abrar Bhattab Rahmatullah Ali say, people say, Maulvi, hamari bachcho ko Maulvi banayenge, kahan se khayega? Where from where will he eat? Where is he going to earn from? But in the same breath, they say, these Maulvis, they eat the best. And whenever a Maulvi comes to town and there's a dawah, how many chickens give their life? How many goats give their life for how, what fish, what fish? And the Maulvis, when they travel, they don't stop below first class and business class. And not that they want to, the people force it on them. They say, no, don't, we don't want it. But the people force, no, you must travel business class. And on the other hand, they say, from where are you going to eat? In Pakistan, when the floods were there about two, 3 years ago, the terrible floods, the people who are called university, Western, modern people, they admitted that at that time there were no NGOs to help the people, no government department. The only people who helped the people were the Maulvis, the students and the ustads from Darul Uloom. They went to such places where nobody else will go. And they fed the nation. And they looked after the nation. So Maulvi is not that he's where will he eat from. He's the one who feeds people. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali, his elder brother had become a barrister law. So somebody told his father that he, this son of yours, he became a barrister, he's going to earn, he's going to live. But Ashraf Ali, I don't know what's going to happen to him, how is he going to live? You made him a Maulvi, from where is he, how is he going to live? His father told, from his dasturkhan thousands of people will eat. And that barrister, he will only be able to eat himself, feed himself. And usually these people, their hands are also very tight. And these people, Maulana Thani Rahmatullah in his khankah, how many people used to come? All the khankah, the Tabligh Markaz, Nizamuddin, where how many people, the Darunums of Bangladesh, 15,000 students in the madrasa, 3 meals a day, 2 sets of clothing given to the children, and 2 lihab, edadams, blankets per year given to the students, and no income, no factory, no shop, no nothing. And it's all running all the time. So Allah has kept it in deen. But what they explain to the people, the complete opposite. The stupid arguments. But unfortunately, they stupid, they make us stupid, and we fall for the stupid argument. So they got them, that this Maulvi stop you from your, this business transaction is not right, that business transaction is not right. And the God of money says, whichever way you can get money, not only the transaction, even if you threw somebody down, but you must get money. Money you must get. That is all the, what it means to them. Human folk, what they doing, wasting their time. Just now, at home, Appa was thanking me that you look after Toba. Who looks after? Allah only looks after. She says, but I don't work. I think you're working the whole day. The woman, they working for who? They working for the husband. They working for the children. They working the whole day. Now, what we call work is only when you go and work for somebody else. And if you work at home, it's not work. But you work outside, then it's called work. Working is to work what you are doing. So, what position Allah has given the woman? But the woman are only regarded as productive, as moving forward when they go and work for somebody else. And with all the disadvantages there. When a woman serves people food as an air hostess, then she's a smart woman. She's advanced. And if she serves her own children at home, she's a backward woman. You wear with honor and who she has to serve when she does her work. We also not forget the enemy. They put it on our tongues, in our minds, in our hearts, that this woman is a backward woman. So Allah Ta'ala has so this is how they got the Muslim youth to kill the Maulvi. And to if they finished up in that way. And great, great ulama was slaughtered. And by who? By Muslim youth. Not by, they didn't, they used their hands and met their hands killing the ulama. So this is the same situation now that the Maulvi, and now as they made, they have chosen out. And today with the smartphone especially, many other ways also, but with the smartphone, they know your whole profile. They know when you charge your phone, what's your habit, do you wait till it's almost flat the battery, then you charge, or when it is just gone certain percentage down, and from there, they work your profile. Artificial intelligence now is a major thing, and this is what they work with all the time. All what sites you go on, they know your taste also. And what time you go on to, what time is your leisure time to look at your phone. That also they know you. And from there they work out your whole profile, what kind of a person. And from there they choose out those Maulvis who will play their tune. And they will keep them. And they won't interfere with the others. So others on Haq, they will let them remain there. So that they fight for Haq all the time. And these will fight for the Batil. And what is the reason they did this? That the Maulvis must fight now. And when the Maulvis will fight, the public will say, we are confused. We don't know who to follow. We're not going to follow the Maulvis. This Maulvi says this, this Maulvi says that. So we're not going to follow the Maulvis. So they added the additional thing also. It is for us to see who is right. And if the Qalbis, ask your heart, and your heart will tell you sincerely, don't look at your, which side your brain is buttered. Look at my akhirah. What is going to make me successful in akhirah? Let me see the true Islam. Islam doesn't need a facelift. Islam doesn't have to be made more, be modernized. and bring a new modern type of Islam. There is only one Islam. There are no two types of Islam. A liberal Islam and a traditional type of Islam. There is only one Islam. If the people bring Iman according to what you people, the Sahaba, have brought Iman, then they have got Hidayah. And if they bring Iman on any other kind of Islam, any change in Islam, that is not Islam. Islam is that, you can keep the name of that other thing Islam, but that is not the Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. A person who will seek any other way of Islam, he can call it Islam, make himself happy, but it won't be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. So that is, who see your heart, what does your heart tell you, which is that Islam? Is it that Islam that is making my dunya for me? I just want the interest to be legalized. So just call it now dividends, call it profit, but it's still the same interest. Poker, I want to live with all this photography and get the enjoyment. Whatever is the enjoyment, people going mad over photography. One Indian Ali explained this maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. He came to for Hajj Umrah, and in Makkah Sharif, 3 o'clock in the morning, tahajjud time, there were people making ibadah. Somebody dua, somebody sajda, somebody tawaf, all at the haram. And then this group of Indian people came there. And actually they were brought Bollywood into the haram. They started making a film there. And started with all the cameras and everything. He says that, Allah, 3 o'clock, the hajjud time, when people are crying, making dua, and now you just seeing the flashes. All the time the flesh is going off, and every time the all shouting like hooligans there, and right in the haram, right in front of where Hajar al-Aswad, where Maqam Ibrahim, Multazam is, this is what they changed. He says, then he went to Medina Sharif. He says his wife reported to him and said, the woman, when they go for their salam, and they are kept in groups, and when they are out, they run like wild animals they run. There's no need for it whatsoever. And you are going to Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, who taught us that even if you go for Farz Namaz, if you are late also, don't run anymore. Go in a dignified way. You can fall, you can get hurt, you can bump somebody else. How many things? What they teaching Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam here. But how these women, and you can hear from that noise the woman made. And the mentality you can make out of the woman, what it is like. Anyways, when they get there, then they start fighting with one another, pushing one another in front. And they go with their chappal. Normally they wear just the chappal, the Indian woman. And with that now, in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they hitting one another. In the process, their scarves, their ornaments also fall off. Now the hair is all open in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the next worst thing, that now the camera comes out, the phone, and then they flash it. And now they're speaking, they by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they're speaking back home. We are at Rosa Mubarak, we are busy giving salam. What salam are you giving? You are talking to them and you say, I'm giving salam to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If I'm talking to anyone, and I got my phone, and I'm speaking on my phone, and I'm saying, I'm speaking to you. And that person also, what a big liar. What is speaking to me? He's speaking there. I'm here, 1 meter in front of him. And he's speaking there, 1,000 meters or kilometers away. 5,000 kilometers away he's speaking. This is the condition. And this is all this photography. What he says, Maulana Khalid Jalandri has said, that this camera, the phone camera, has made our masjid into wailing halls. And yet, in our country, throughout the world, our machines have been transformed into cinema halls. Big, big screens are here in front now. And the projectors are there to project, just like a cinema hall. And all this is because of that. So all that they have brought, and they will always leave the ulama to speak against it also. so that the flesh remains also. And the ulama of Hajj, they can never ever keep quiet. Allahu Akbar. Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Haythami rahmatullah alayh, what a beautiful point he mentioned. He said that the previous nations, Bani Israel, etc., Allah did not take a promise to protect their kitab, the Torah, the Injil, etc. So whenever their ulama, and the Quran speaks of them, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابهم من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم, that they should give fatwas against the Quran. They should take bribes from people, and they should give, and they should change the kitab. Ayat they change completely, manavi ta'arif, and lafzi ta'arif, or the ta'arif they used to make. But the ulama did not speak against them. They carried on socializing with them, eating, talking, everything. They maintained that. In that way, the whole religion and the kitab got changed completely. So much so that the Injil, Torah taught 100% Tawheed. Every kitab of Allah taught 100%. But now what is the Injil about? About Trinity. Idol worship, making Isa alayhi. Imagine the Nabi who came to teach Tawheed, they made him an idol. And they worshiping him now, to that extent. He said, in this ummah, Allah is the one. نَحْنُ إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We will protect it. But of course, Allah doesn't come himself and protect it. He said, Allah will always keep, or those ulama in this ummah, will never keep quiet about the wrong. They will speak out about it. In this way, this is these ulama who will protect the Quran. The true meaning, lafzi also, manavi also. The true teachings and what Islam is, they will protect it. Allah will keep them. La yuzalu ta'ikatum min ummati. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also declared, always there will be that group of ulama that they will speak out against the wrong. And they will make it clear, water is water, milk is milk. They will make the two completely different. They won't let them mix at all. So this is what we have. So the Soviet Union, we should take a lesson from them. And I don't know if I completed that about Malaysia, where the person told that we mustn't make the same mistake, where they went into becoming academic. And then the whole market went to the Chinese, and the Chinese controlling the country. So here also, he said that don't go into, and these academics, what are they? They can't think for themselves. All doctors, by what they go, by what the World Health Organization says. If they say cholesterol level must be at 4, then this will maintain. They don't use their own brains at all. Whatever instructions come from above, they just accept all that. And the hakims on the other side, and these doctors, for example, they got no remedy for sugar, diabetes, cholesterol, blood pressure. Your whole life they just control it. And you start off with one simple medicine, they say, no, I'm just medicine, glucophage. You just take it for your sugar. And then afterwards they say, you must take now two a day. Then they put you on to a heavy dose. And then they say you have to go on to insulin. And then what is finally, now you have to go on to dialysis. And that is how they take you in that route. Whereas the Hakim on the other side, one person, he ate 10 raw rotis. 10 raw rotis. So, of course, he was constipated, stomach very painful, feeling very, very bad. Went to Hakim. Hakim checked him up and gave him eye ointment. So he told Hakim, my stomach is sore, you give me eye ointment. He said, your problem is your eye. You couldn't see 10 raw rotis. Not one, not two, 10 raw and raw rotis. You couldn't see. At first, otherwise tomorrow you'll come back with the same problem. Let me treat your eyes first so you can see tomorrow. You don't eat. So that is, they treat the root cause. That is what the Hakim do, and our Islamic teaching also. For example, spiritually also. A person has got anger. A sheikh who has been trained properly and he treats his patients, he won't treat them for anger. He'll see the root cause, which is pride. He will teach pride, and once pride is gone out, anger will just disappear itself. It disappears itself. You don't have to treat it. So like that, all diseases, many diseases are because of the love of the West, which is filled in the heart. Now you want to treat, they're dressing separately. And they have functions they're attending separately. And their lifestyle separately. Just work on the iman, bring iman into the heart. Let the thinking come right, which is this month of Ramadan. We keep that rosa of our thinking, put it in the right hand, and they themselves then, you don't have to tell them, you don't have to go to this party and you don't have to go to that function. They themselves will know properly. So the root cause has to be treated. That is one very important thing. Another very important thing in our tariqah is not izala, is imala. What does that mean? Izala is to remove a quality from a person. Imala is to turn the direction of it. For example, a person likes to be acknowledged. He likes people must praise him. He likes that. So don't, that is a natural thing in a person. You can't remove it. In the hadith it comes, if you hear a mountain has moved from its place, accept that. But if you hear somebody's nature, habits have changed, don't accept that. So that desire to be acknowledged, it can't be removed, it's in a person. But just turn the direction. What we want to be acknowledged by people. People must praise us, people must tell us, mashallah, whatever work you're doing, whatever you did, just turn it to Allah Ta'ala. That time it becomes ikhlas now. You're doing it for the pleasure that Allah must acknowledge. Allah must be happy with my bandha. With my bandha, mashallah, my bandha. Oh, nice, he's making ibadah. And he's doing it just to show me, not to show anyone. So do it to show, but do it to show the right place. To show Allah Ta'ala. Sahaba used to say, tomorrow in the battle, in the war, we will show Allah how I will fight. And how I will advance, and how I will fight. So don't do it to show people. Do it to show Allah Ta'ala. So all these things, so that is very important. Don't work on yourself, on anyone else for izala, to take out the natural qualities which are in you. You can't. And in fact, one person went to a buzur to a sheikh for his islam. And the sheikh saw he hasn't got the madda, the property, the quality of love in him. He's a poor like, for example, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also explained, Hindus, Jews, they don't have really love in them. They are all materialistic. They want money. So even like a Hindu, a Jew, a beautiful woman comes, they don't see the beauty of her. We want money. Money must come. That is all. Business, etc. They're not interested in anything else, basically. So this person didn't have love in him. So how is he going to love Allah? So first he has to create the quality of loving him, make, cultivate the quality of love. So then he first made him to make muraqabah, meditate on a cow that we get. Like the Hindus, they worship the cow also. Because they see they get, and the cow is their god like. The cow does all their work, so they worship the cow. For about 6 months now, when he got the love of that, then he changed the direction from the cow to Allah Ta'ala. Many of us, we think we know what is love or we have love, but really it is only our, what do you call it? Infatuation. And a person, for example, he claims he loves his wife, but as soon as sexually he has been satisfied, he doesn't even turn on her side. He turns the other side. He got no love for her. He just is matlab, he's a matlab. And when he's not sexually aroused, he's fighting with her, finding fault with her. And when he's sexually aroused and he wants to be satisfied, then he's the sweetest husband. Then he's doing everything sweetly. So he has got no love for his wife. He's just that he's a matlab. And a matlab person is a person you must stay very far from. Whether he's in the khanqah with the sheikh also, there are many people who are just matlabi. They are not here for the islah also. And some just use the sheikh as a cover, that we associated and we very close with it. But under the cover, they doing their own things. They want their own popularity, they want their own name, they want, for example, running a madrasa, So the shares who are connected with the shares, he will give them also money because they also now outwardly. So many people, so the basic essential things which are to be done. So anyway, so with regard to the Soviet Union, we should take a great lesson. And this is what the brother told in Malaysia. We have, and if a person sticks to the family business, and that grows, and there is lots of barakat in there. And if we become business people, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared a barakat in two things, business and farming. The businessman, he runs the country. He controls parliament also. And the farmer feeds the nation. And in whose hands these two things are, the food and the laws of the country, the country is in your hands. So either we must be in farming lot of barakat Allah has put. And how lot of barakat, one of which fruit has got perhaps the most barakat according to us? Watermelon. How many? Now, if Allah wanted to, every seed must be produced. It takes 4 months for a watermelon from the time it's planted till the time the watermelon is ready. So every seed in one watermelon, if it all has to grow, then there will be, like we have a traffic jam, we'll have a watermelon jam. And no cars can move, no people can walk, no aeroplanes can fly, no ships can move. Watermelon jam, everywhere only watermelon. And if Allah made it, see the control of Allah. If Allah made that, the seed, the manas is fine, like soil, from there it germinates, it when the vine comes out and then the watermelon. Now, when we eat watermelon, we all know, we take out the pus, but sometimes we swallow open. Now, if it has to germinate in the stomach now, and now watermelon vine came out. Now, from your ears, watermelon coming out. From your nose, watermelon is coming out. From your mouth, watermelon. What would happen? The control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala's system works, which also these atheists cannot see. They wonder why there is so much suffering in the world. So one young boy, 7-year-old boy, told a 62-year-old atheist that he has a glass of water on the table. If that water falls down, what would you say? The water is wasted. It fell down. Now this water is wasted. But it fell on ground. And from this ground some plants grew. And some fruit, some vegetation, something for benefit inside. So now it looks like it was wasted, but it isn't. So people who are suffering looks like their lives are wasted. How they are suffering. They are in hospitals there. There are droughts there. There are floods there. But what comes after that? What Allah brings out from there, which our eyes cannot see. When the water falls on the ground, we say you wasted the bucket of water. But how it is, what it produces. So Allah knows that this, what is going in all this, Allah's system, where our minds cannot reach, Allah's system works. So Allah give us tawfiq. So anyway, we must keep the rosa of our mind also, and our, and a person who has developed this, and this few ma'amulas I'm showing, a person who will practice them, he will see for himself how Allah will open his heart, how Allah will open his mind. Purification of the eyes will take place, and then with a clean, pure eye, you read the Quran. When our ears will be purified, and we listen to Quran Sharif, and then that effect will come into our heart. All this is coming down like pure, distilled water, like rain water. And it falls all like on the roofs. And on the roofs there is dust that is gathered. And if the gutters have got stool in them, just at the bottom, somebody pushed in some stool there. So that pure water mixes with the stool now. Now you destroy all this water. So what when Quran Sharif is read, 1 hour, 1.5 hour in Tarawih, and that Noor and that Mushladar Barish, that rain which is coming in torrents of Allah's rahmat. But if our ears are dirty, it's going through dirty ears. If Allah makes ma'am, and what apologies, if the heart is of the Quran, if his mouth is dirty, and he's reading that Quran is beautifully, But his mouth is dirty, he made ghibat before that. He lied before that. So that pure Quran, we are messing it up. We are spoiling it. And our ears are dirty. Where are we going to get the beauty of the Quran Sharif? Otherwise, the Quran Sharif is such a kitab. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam should read in tahajjud. Abu Jahl, 3-4 other kuffar, they should hide away from one another and come and listen. And then in the they couldn't desist listening. They just couldn't resist, they just kept on. And they had to get away before time so that they not fall. But till the last, when now, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished his recital, and now the sun is, the light of day is starting, then they used to catch up. Where are you coming from? Where are you coming from? And they got caught by one of themselves. You're going to listen. And they promised tomorrow nobody comes. They were better. Earlier they were better. The Quran Sharif has got that effect, even on that kuffar heart. And when who was reading? Nabi alayhi salatu. Reading the Quran, the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. So it's got that purity in it. So Allah give us tawfiq. Inshallah we'll carry on. And then the next roza we have to keep, roza of the stomach. That is what we eat. That is important. We have to eat what is not only halal, but halal and tayyiban. And halal and tayyiban is that it must be halal. Not that before everyone used to ask, is it halal? Now we all ask, is it certified halal? And just a certificate doesn't make something halal. The procedure must be correct, then it is halal. But today, just as somebody has given a certificate, and not even a certificate, one of our friends who comes here is from Libya or somewhere. So he said that he went shopping with his father to the supermarket. And then his father took some chickens from the fridge to buy. So he told him, but this year it's not right. So he says, yeah, it's written halal. What's your problem? So just anyone can say it's halal. One good friend of ours, Yusuf Arbi of Phoenix, he says a few years ago, made qurbani by a Muslim-owned farm, and very famous and very prominent family of the Durban area, and known for their piety. And after qurbani, they wasn't going to take the meat immediately, because just keep it in a cold room, then to slice it becomes easier. So the next day, he phoned, the manager said, your meat is ready, but I'm not there at the moment, I'll phone my manager, you go and you collect it. So he went there, then in the shed where they work, all the work they doing, he went there, and he told them, if you mean fetch the meat, they said, okay, bring in the carcass. While he was sitting there, he saw that chickens were coming in and taken out of one plastic packet and been put in another plastic packet. So then this intrigued him that what is this, what's happening? So he went and checked. So there's a white farmer who doesn't claim that it is halal, nothing, written halal, nothing. But he supplies the supermarket and he's got an agreement with them after a certain date, what is not sold, they return to him again. Then this farmer, Muslim person, he buys it off. And then he takes out that plastic packet of that farmer where there's nothing halal, nothing. And he puts it in a plastic packet where halal is written. And then he puts it in here. So he said, what is this now? Where it's 100% haram. Just he's changing the plastic packet. He's putting it in this one. So he went and he took a few friends, Mali Muhammad Salaji of those in Phoenix. He said, call them in, come and see what's happening with your own eyes. So they also saw Mali Muhammad. He phoned his mother immediately. She was one of his main distributors. And a trustworthy, pious woman. He told her, stop selling immediately. These chickens are not haram, are not halal. From that white farmer who doesn't claim in any way it is halal. It's not halal. He slaughters in his way, he does his thing. But just the change of the plastic packet. And today we just see halal written anywhere, it's all right. Just a halal bought somewhere, it's all right. So we have to be very careful. It must be halal also. And halal is not sufficient also. Tayyiban. Tayyiban, two explanations are usually given. That it must be in which there is no doubt. For your food, you must eat that food which you've got no doubt about. Secondly, healthy, wholesome food. Even if you eat junk food, which is halal, that's also not good enough. You must eat halal and tayyiban. And everything, your actions, your thinking is according to what you eat. And just what we are talking of, keeping roza of the mind, is what you eat that makes your thinking, governs your thinking. The stomach, the food that goes in the body, your actions will be according to what you eat. If you eat halal, your actions will be good. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says that if you eat halal and you don't want to do good, you will still do good. And if you eat haram and you don't want to do haram, you will do haram. The effect of it is that you will do that. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah we'll have a bit more talk on that. Very, very important, roza of the stomach also. Subhanallah.